for each one of us this morning. So you ask the Lord, now you ask him to show you what he especially wants to show you this morning from this word. What's called My Plans Never Fail. Praise God. And he's prepared a plan for your life and for my life. His plan for your life and my life is that we be filled with Christ Jesus, that we be empowered by Christ Jesus in us, and that we produce good fruit from the presence of Christ within us. That's his plan for you. That's his plan for me. Praise God. And that plan will never fail. Despite weakness and despite sin, that plan will never fail. What the Lord puts in place, it stands forever. Now, we're going to have a look because there's an interesting discourse here. There's an interesting passage of things that the Lord spoke, the Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples before he went to the cross. And this is very interesting because we know what happened with them at the cross. What happened with the disciples around the time of the cross? All deserted him and ran off. So we're going to have a look and see what did Jesus speak to them before this event. And so it's wonderful. We're going to see the miracle working of Jesus' power in the disciples' life. So we're in Luke 22 and verse 28. It's Jesus speaking to them. He said, "You are those who have continued with me in my trials." He's saying to them, "I see you as faithful, and I see you as standing with me." This is what he speaks over them. And in verse 29, the next verse, he says, "I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me." He says, I give you the kingdom. Well, what's the kingdom? The kingdom is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. He said, "I bestow it on you. You are those who stand with me in all my trials. I bestow on you righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit." Look at verse 30. "That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." Praise God. Praise God. I mean, the Lord's table is full of everything that you and I need. Whatever you need in life, you can reach freely onto the Lord's table and say, "Lord, I need the peace right now." You can reach into and you say, "Lord, I need the patience right now. I'm taking it from your table." He says, "I set out my table before you." And he says that you're going to feast off all the goodness of me. See, young people, there's only good things in Jesus, and he wants you to have all the good things that are in him. They're freely given to you. It's wonderful. Praise God. He says, you'll sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, you're going to share my power. You're going to share my rule. This is what he's spoken over them. Before the cross, before Satan's defeat, before Christ is living in them, it's prophetic what he's speaking over them. He's speaking over what he sees as his finished work over them. Absolutely wonderful. Now look at verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat." Even before Satan's defeat, he has to ask permission for anything he wanted to do. This is even before he was defeated. Praise God, at the cross, which is coming up shortly. Glory to God. But he says, verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus says, verse 32, I've requested concerning you. In other words, Satan's request, Satan's desire is brushed out of the way by Jesus' prayer. He says, I've requested concerning you that your faith should not fail. Is every one of Jesus' prayers answered? Glory to God. You see, he's speaking all this over them before he goes to the cross. So it says, I have requested concerning you, your faith should not fail. And when you have returned, see, he knows that Simon's going to blow it big time. He says, when you've returned, Jesus is certain of the return. Oh, glory to God. He's certain of the return. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You're going to be somebody who returns to me, your faith won't fail, and you're going to be somebody that strengthens many people around you, strengthens your brothers. Praise God. And you see, Jesus was about to crush Satan's head. Jesus was about to drive him out, is what the scripture says. The prince of this world would be driven out. Jesus was about to render him powerless through his victory on the cross and to give all his believers total power and victory over him. Jesus was about to establish the kingdom of heaven where his believers would be justified, would be washed, would be sanctified, and would be filled with Christ himself. Glory to God. This is the work he was going to go to do, to achieve for us at the cross. In verse 33, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. This was Peter's heart. This was his heart. Jesus saw his heart. He said, that's his heart. He's prepared to go to prison and to death with me. Jesus registered his heart, and the Lord knew his heart. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Jesus' plan and confidence was despite the weakness and sin that would show up in Simon's life. Jesus' plan was that his faith wouldn't fail, that he'd return to him, and that he'd strengthen his brothers. You see, Jesus sees his plan as totally victorious, and he sees his plan as totally working out in each one of you and me. Praise God. Despite us, he's going to work out a perfect plan through our lives. Now, the disciples couldn't even pray 1 hour with Jesus in his time of need. They couldn't even successfully get their act together to pray for 1 hour. They couldn't even pray 1 hour with him. They all deserted him. And Jesus said 3 times, I never knew him. Boy, I mean, that's blowing a big time. Praise God. And in verse 61, after Peter had denied Jesus, it says, the Lord turned, can you see that in verse 61? The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now, the question is, what is in that look? That's the question. What is in that look? We know there can be no condemnation in the look. Is that right? I mean, have we seen Jesus in action with sinners, with the woman caught in the very act of adultery? So there is no condemnation in that look. And what's in that look, brothers and sisters, is everything that Jesus has spoken out already. Your faith won't fail. I've requested for you. Was in the look of Jesus. The look of Jesus was all encouragement to him. You're going through this situation successfully. You're going to come successfully out the other side. This is what's in the look of Jesus. You're going to return to me and you're going to be a strengthener of brothers. Glory to God. This is the faith he is carrying for you and for me. This is the faith he's carrying for you and for me. I mean, arguably, you could say none of us have publicly said 3 times, I have nothing to do with Jesus. I mean, arguably, we could say none of us have quite to that extent. Nothing will put him off. Nothing will put Jesus off concerning us. Praise God. And suppose you've said and done things that aren't right. What's the look of Jesus towards you? You see, we need to know this. Because when you fail, when you sin, when you get into things and thought patterns and actions and things that aren't right, you need to know what the look of Jesus is. I've prayed, your faith won't fail. We heard this morning, I'm your cornerstone. You're built on me. You won't collapse. I'll see you through. Is the promise, is the look that's in the eyes of Jesus. He looks past your sin and my sin to his plan. Is that wonderful? You see, we must not go down if we fail, if we sin, if we spot shortcomings in our lives. We must not go down. We must say, no, Jesus, you're looking past all that to your plan for me. He's confident concerning you, concerning me. Now, Jesus goes to the cross just after this, and he pays the full price for all sin forever. Forgiven forever. The one who'll put their trust and their faith in Jesus. So he died on the cross for the forgiveness of all sin, and he's raised for our justification. You and I have put our faith in Christ. We're now fully justified before Christ. Free gift, nothing to do with your performance. If you put your faith in Christ, you die this moment, you go straight to be with him. Without any guilt on you, without any shame on you, without any sin on you, it's all been dealt with by Christ. This is the confidence, you see. This is the confidence that we have in the finished work of Jesus. Now, after his resurrection, I'm going to just have a drink of water here. When Jesus meets Peter and the disciples after the resurrection, who deserted him in his time of need, who denied him 3 times that he knew him, what was his response to them? So let's go to John 21. What was the response of Jesus to someone who publicly disowned him 3 times, said he never knew him, anything to do with him? What is his response to those who ran off, couldn't even pray 1 hour, ran off and totally deserted him? What was his response? Well, in John 21, Peter and some of the disciples are out fishing, and they caught nothing. Verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, verse 5, said to them, children, I noted that, children. Is that the phrase of a loving father? Children. These are the ones that have blown it completely. Children, have you any food? They answered him, no. Verse 6, cast out the net on the right-hand side of the boat. They still hadn't got the message that the right side was the one to get it out on. Cast out the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find some. And they were not able to draw in the net because of the multitude of fish. And John said, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord on the beach, he puts on his garment and he jumps into the sea. And he goes, they can't get the boat in too quickly if there's a huge catch of fish. He gets in and he runs towards the Lord. Peter does. He runs towards him. Now, you don't run towards a condemning judge. You don't run towards one who has no faith in you. You run to the one you know to be the compassionate one, the merciful one. You run towards the one you know who's for you. Can you see the marvel of this, of Jesus' response to them? Praise God. Praise God. You see, Peter's faith in Jesus held strong just like Jesus spoke and prayed. It held strong. Jesus knew they'd be full of shame. He knew they'd be full of guilt. He knew that they'd be fearful of facing him after disowning him publicly. Jesus knew all that. So he had everything in place to show them his true response to them. It's not changed. Their sin hasn't changed his response to them. Their disowning of him hasn't changed their response to him. The first thing he does is give them a miracle catch of fish. You see, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. You see, in our thinking can be, well, I sinned and I did some stuff and I said some things and everything last week, and it's not surprising if some things now go wrong because of what I've done and all the rest of it. The complete opposite. Jesus' work and miracle of blessing. You cannot switch off his miracle power of blessing towards you and towards me who have given our lives to him. You can't switch it off. You can't switch off his goodness towards you. You can't switch off his love towards you. It's impossible. Cannot be switched off. Glory to God. He has a barbecue breakfast going for them on the beach. He thinks, I'll get them fed up and with some nice things to eat, and I'll show them my mercy, my compassion, and my love for them. And I'll show the welcome that I have for them. And he shows them he will never desert them. We can desert him. He will never desert them. That's what he's showing ever so clearly here. Praise God. I mean, he's in to stay with us right through everything. Praise God. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus. There's no accusation. Look through the passage. There is not one accusation in there. There's not one mention in there of anything they've done. I mean, see, when he forgives sin, it's forgiven. And he will never mention it again. He will never bring it up again. There's not a single mention in here of anything they've done. I was extremely hurt when you deserted me. There's no, you proved an untrustworthy and unreliable bunch. I'm going to look elsewhere for disciples because you failed the test. Nothing like that from Jesus. I mean, when he owns you, when you're his, you're his. He stays in all the way through, and he's convinced that he will see his plan all the way through. Now, he wonderfully reinstates Peter. Is that right? And he gives Peter opportunities to speak out his love for Jesus, because that's his true heart anyway. And three times he gives Peter the opportunity to say, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You've known from the beginning that I love you. You see, he knows our heart towards him. He knows our heart. If your heart is for him, for Jesus, he's in there with you all the way through. And he commissions him. He says, feed my lambs, tend and feed my sheep. Back to the plan. Sins all left behind. We're back to the plan now of what you're going to be doing. Is it wonderful? Jesus knows that they are going to have he, Jesus himself, living in them at Pentecost. They don't know this yet. It's coming up. He's going to take full residence by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And you can see there at the end of John 21 where Jesus says to Peter, you will give your life for me. You will. What you said was true. It's your true heart. You will do it. You'll do it by my power, by the power of my Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, have you written yourself off through some sin or some weakness or some stuff you've gone through? Have you written yourself off? Because we need to know Jesus is looking past all that. He's not sin-focused. He's his plan-focused for your life. And he's given us the opportunity to repent and say, Jesus, that was sin. I'm leaving that behind. I repent of that. I'm moving on. I'm staying in the plan. I'm staying in the purpose. This is what he wants for us. Here's what he said over them, and here's what he speaks over us. You are those who continue with me, even in times of trial. Jesus speaks it over us. No, you stick with me. This is his plan. This is what he sees for us. I see you in my kingdom, full of righteousness, full of peace, full of joy, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I see you eating and drinking from my table. I see you in my kingdom. I see all my goodness laid out before you. And I see you sharing my throne, my power, and I see you as a witness to me. His faith is unshakable to do with this. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, you may say he's working with some fairly dodgy material. Is that right? He's working with, I mean, if it's just you and I on our own, aside from Christ's power, some very dodgy material here. No, he's totally confident. I who have begun a good thing will see it through to the day of Jesus Christ. Glory to his holy name. He's full of faith for you. Now, you see, this doesn't make you casual about sin. It's the continuing kindness and the continuing compassion and the continuing mercy and the continuing loveliness of Jesus that just wins you out of the sin patterns. He eventually just wins you out by the sheer beauty. See, the scripture says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. When I see your beautiful nature, Jesus, when I see Jesus, you chose to carry all the shame, all the guilt, all the ugliness, all the filthiness. You took it all away on the cross. And you took a horrible, rotten old heart out of me. And you put your beautiful spirit and your beautiful self inside me, Jesus. And you've just won me. You've just won me, Jesus. That's how it works. That's how it works. And he's so lovely. We're going to break bread. John, would you be kind enough to break bread? And you have your conversation with him now. I mean, we've seen him in action. the ones closest to him absolutely blew it. And nothing could stop Jesus' plan for them. Your sin, your shame, cannot stop the plan and the purpose that Jesus has got for you. Nothing can separate or will be able to separate you from his love. And his plan is to see you through into the very best that he has off his table for you. He's never going to think any other way. He's set totally in his purpose for his glorious kingdom. His kingdom advances powerfully. It advances powerfully. And men lay hold on the power of what Jesus has provided for them. You have your conversation now with him. That would be wonderful.